The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yes, absolutely. And funny enough, Richard Fitzwilliams will probably be talking about the African trip of Prince William on the show tomorrow. But don't wish your life away, Cameron, because otherwise you'll just get broken down and destroyed in all sorts of ways. That's a very interesting way of introducing your tune today, which I think is an interesting line. So go for it, Cameron. Explain why Julie C. Myers should certainly be featuring on one of Sound and Nick's Visions future programmes, maybe even when we're on location. Is that exciting, Emma? We're going on location with Sound and Nick's Vision.
Very exciting.
Christy's very worried.
Speaking of animals having to perform in public.
Oh, we know what you meant there. It's okay. You can say that only because you're in Nashville. But there we are. Carry on.
Well, she's originally from Memphis, Julie C. Myers. And she's arguably one of the world's most sought-after Stevie Nicks tribute artists. She's been all over the world doing her Nearly Nicks show for about 8 years. She now lives in Winnipeg in Manitoba, Canada. And boy, that's a cold change from Memphis. But she's a little bit more country than Stevie. And so what she's done is released her own stuff, original material. She's a trained gymnast. She's a vocal powerhouse. One of Playboy's Girls of Rock and Roll, and she's a professional dancer. Like I say, she's been doing this Nearly Nicks, Stevie Nicks tribute for about 8 years. She's got a brand new record out called Rock On, Fearless Journey. Her name is Julie C. Myers. Check her out. This is her brand new song, and it is called Broken Down Angel on Siren FM.
Emma, what did you make of Julie C. Myers and Broken Down Angel?
I really liked that, actually. I thought she's got a lovely tone to her voice, really, like, perfect for country music.
Mm-hmm. Well, rock, pop, country, blurred lines, as she says on her website, juliecmyers.com. Christy?
I really liked her. I thought she has a very strong voice. Very, very strong voice. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, Kat might have one or two thoughts on the whole thing. Kat?
Yeah, I thought it was great, actually. She really did sound like Stevie Nicks in places. I can see why she's doing a tribute act there. That's, yeah.
Stevie Nicks. Yeah. She's not into electronic dance music, though. EDM. As she says, she'd probably be barred from performing at any of the casinos of Las Vegas for saying this. But EDM, electronic dance music, has taken over the world in the clubs across America because it's dirt cheap to put on.
Oh, no.
Well, you can't be a fan of everything.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I got to go with Julie on that. I really have to go with
A DJ is a one-man show, but really it's the Walmart of music. Other supermarkets are available. And I don't know who really likes the stuff, but even if I can dance to it, if I'm in the right mood, as a collective, us musicians need to be out there informing the world and our fans that that is what EDM is all about.
She's very passionate about this, isn't she?
You like that. But, Nick, this could be crucial. What did you make of Broken Down Angel and Julie C. Myers?
I love the track anyway. A cover of a Nazareth track.
Even Nazareth.
Nazareth?
Indeed.
Did
yes.
I not say Nazareth?
Oh, so
it's Nazareth.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm having all kinds of problems.
Probably even before really. Cameron's time, Nazareth, really, but still.
No, Cameron and now Nazareth.
Oh, yeah, there we are. So it's thumbs up. So what do you think, Emma? Should we actually put the word in via Cameron to say, you know, should we invite Julie C. Myers to kind of share her concerns across the globe with us, not just via a blog, but on the Midweek Drive?
Of course, Cameron. I think you should definitely set us up with that. I think it'd be good.
We're gonna set
Man,
us up.
You guys are all, y'all make me work for this.
It's all good, Cameron. It's all good.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly. You know,
I'll get right on that and we'll set something up.
There we are, you see, that's one. Christy, your friend who's a fantastic soul in the modelling industry and indeed works for Italian Vogue probably might use that as a motivation routine. She can relax now because it is your voice that she'll be hearing and not that of Jake Paz.
Yeah, I think she'll be happy about that.
Understandable. Is she listening in Italy at present? Or is she?
I think she is. I think she's really? Listening right now, yeah.
Any particular part of Italy? Should we say buongiorno to this?
I don't know. I know that she's... She's represented by Elite Modelling in London,
yeah.
And she's recently done a shoot for Vogue Italia,
right.
Which is now on the shelves, I believe.
Right.
Gucci, I
Top
think she's modelling.
No, don't go there, please. On the shelves is all we will say at this
somewhere.
Moment. Would you actually give her a name check?
Yeah, her name is Emily Ann Smith, and she's just set up her own blog for the first time, so check it out.
She has set up her first time blog. The very first time, isn't that? That deserves an R, I think.
Ah.
And the blog title, once again, is?
I think it's just Emily Ann Smith at the moment, because her name is obviously how
Emily
people know
Ann
her.
Emily Ann Smith.
Yep.
So why not Emily Ann Smith?
And her nickname in the modelling industry is B Smith. So.
That's so odd. Why?
Because it was a nickname for her as a child, and there's a lot of Emilys, apparently, so she's
of
B,
course, yeah.
Which is very adorable.
I'll be fed attention to that, Cameron. There will be a seminar sent in the post to you to actually sort of work through that questionnaire and so on. But it's time now, Emma, to pose those last two questions to Cameron before we go to Anna Lewis and then Sarah Pascoe. So go!
Of course. Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been more fun than one human being should be allowed to have.
I don't think your heart was in that. Will you be joining us again next week, Cameron?
I'll be back.
Can't wait.
It's a sad affair when there's no one there. He calls out in the night.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
And I'm not sure, Nick, whether you've actually been to the island of Jersey as yet.
No, I haven't,
You
Alex,
still
no,
haven't since we
no.
last spoke. Kat, have you managed to make your way from the joys of Cambridgeshire to the island of Jersey?
Not again. I've only been there once. I wish I could go back there. Beautiful,
most
beautiful
most people do. I mean, Emma, of course.
I've barely left Lincoln, so...
and Christy?
No, sorry.
No. And yet, Anna, you're constantly sort of promoting Jersey to the tourist board personified.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Is the weather better there this time round?
It's glorious sunshine. It's absolutely stunning. The only downside is where I work, which is a lovely courtyard, and I'm working a late day, so I've finished at 5 today. The courtyard is bathed in light, and it's all lovely because there's lavender growing and there's a little pond with goldfish and everything's wonderful. But the actual surroundings look like a building site. So if you hear bits of scaffolding cluttering in the background, it's all because of that.
Action-adventure in the Anna Lewis manner.
I actually heard that last week, apparently, there was a mini earthquake in Jersey. Is that true?
Yes, there was. There was. I was actually on the phone when it happened. And my friend and I sort of just stopped in mid-conversation. And my friend said, "What was that?"
And
we realised it was. You couldn't feel it as much as hear it. It was like a truck was going over your head.
Sounds like one of these radio shows, actually, Anna. I know it's called Drive Time, but really, should it feel as though a truck's going over your head? Mind you, Siren FM, the station that makes you feel as though a truck is going over your head. Yeah. Could work. Splendid. Christy, any thoughts from yourself?
You just painted like such a wonderful picture of your surroundings and then just kind of like smeared a massive kind
That's because she's an English graduate and postgraduate student.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the skill to be able to paint this wonderful picture and then ruin it within about two words. It's fantastic.
Yes, I know. Oh, I know. It's easy to do in Jersey, though, to be quite honest.
It is phenomenal. Now, there are people, Phil Lynn is possibly one of them, maybe even Sarah Pascoe, but we'll be speaking to Sarah Pascoe in a few moments, who might have thought you're not going to do it, are you? We are. We're going to give you 1 minute, 40 seconds of this.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of
Charlie's a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, bravest little hobbit of them all.
Okay, we might do it in instalments, but it is a mini Lenny Leonard Nimoy tribute, the official, authentic Bilbo Baggins ballad there.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I could tell you've been moved by that one. Yeah, very good. In fact, did you not come to us to see back in the day, Anna? Were you not one of the team who actually joined us on the Wrath of Khanna? Were you there for the Chemistry Society of the University of London's trip to see E.T.? Or had you passed into
the I didn't know. It's one of the things I sadly missed.
Yeah, absolutely. Those of us who were there will always remember those days. Anyway, life continues. And what about Sarah Pascoe? Sarah Pascoe versus History is the name of the stage show, which is the tour that's effectively coming to Lincoln next Wednesday when, bonus here for both Christy and Emma, we probably have press passes to go and see it after the show.
Woohoo!
Yeah. It's not in the direction of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre there. And, of course, the fabulous Julie Ellaby. And the LPAC producers, who, of course, put these things together because they specifically said we must have Sarah Pascoe on the show. Have you ever encountered her in her contributions, Anna, to Stand Up for the Week, The Thick of It, Mock the Week, and so on?
I'm a bit switched off when it comes to telly. I've got an addiction day on Tuesday, which is all the soaps.
Yes.
But I should get into comedy more. I think I need a bit of a lift.
I think the sort of witticisms that you provide, you could actually be a stand-up comedian yourself quite easily, you know. And just think of how the family would be impressed. You know, their daughter, they thought she was a librarian, and now she's just knocking them dead at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, one-liners. It'll be like an earthquake, honestly. It will. Anyway, life continues. Kat, any questions or thoughts for yourself for Jersey?
I just wonder how you can actually get a day's work done with all that beautiful surrounding, to be honest. The beach.
She may not, of course. She may spend her time just writing her comedy scripts.
Well,
you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, today I was looking for cholera victims.
Always good.
This was my day's project. I'm going to give a talk at work at some point on cholera in Jersey, and I've just found a shortcut to finding all the cholera victims. So I've had a fun day with them.
And that's one of the reasons we love having you on as a regular feature, because, you know, let's face it, there are other stations who might think it's 20 past five, drive time. Can we talk about cholera victims? Yes, we can. Because Siren 107.3 FM is bold and ambitious.
We're out there.
Particularly with the Midrake Drive. Exactly. But it's time, astonishingly, Christy, for you to throw those last two questions to Anna Lewis.
Have you had a wonderful telephonic link with us this week, Anna Lewis?
Oh, I certainly have. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I certainly hope so.
And I'll give you some prep for next week, Anna, because we might well be joined in the studio once again by that wonderful steampunk author, Sam Stone. So you can check out her adventures with Trixie. You can check out the Cat Lightfoot, Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, Zombies
Excellent.
At Tiffany's, and much more. So there we are. A little heads up,
great.
7 days ahead. The whole sort of
Brilliant.
Thing.
Brilliant.
It's happening. And don't forget, when you were ordering books for the library, Nick, your book is available now. It's 3 weeks old.
Yes,
so
it is.
So second book, and the book is entitled...
50 Folk.
50 Folk. Celebrating 50 years, Anna. 50 years of the Cambridge Folk Festival.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. That sounds a good read, actually.
Exactly. Hmm. And we will be quizzing you on it, probably next time.
Right.
She was
I'm up for it.
Born in November 1963, the day Aldous Huxley died. And her mama believed every man could be free. So her mama got high.
Track I've ever heard. But the intention is good. Sheryl Crow doing her unique stuff there and acting in many ways as a warm-up person for the soul who was basically such a success in every sense of the word that the LPAC producers demanded, I say that again, demanded, capital D-E-M-A-N-D-E-D, that she actually came to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and bring us some of her fantastic magic. Of course, whom could we be referring to? I think it's the one and only Sarah Pascoe. Sarah, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey. It's already been voted unanimously with the team here, Sarah, that your bit of the internet, hands off, Sarah Pascoe's blog is, you know, it is literally, as you said, Christy, probably one of the coolest blog sites and websites you've ever encountered.
Yeah,
oh, that's very
amazing.
Kind of you.
And we've got professional photographer Nick Elliott in the studio. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Just look at the fun that's actually on there. You've got passwords.
I love the colours.
Gigs
yes,
and
good.
Shows.
It's awesome.
You can hear, Sarah, the size of breath being intakes just as we work our way through this.
And you're very kind. Can I tell you what happened with it? I didn't have a website for ages, and as a joke, I put some post-it notes on a piece of squared paper and kind of I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter and said, how do I get my website into the internet? And a man made it for me.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I know, a man called Mark, who that's his job, and then he just did it for free as a really kind gesture. I went, I've scanned everything in for you, there it is now, and then put it on the internet.
Mark, your contribution to Western civilization is significant. Not as high as Sarah Pascoe's, particularly when we've seen Sarah, your good self, live at the Apollo, and the story about the sort of notion of why you should never actually date a celebrity, I thought is absolutely hilarious. We can't repeat it now for obvious reasons, but you know, you might well be sort of sharing that with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre people, because it is so so true in every sense of the word.
Thank you.
There's so much good stuff here. Let's turn to Christy first and foremost. Any questions you want to put to the legend that is the Sarah Pascoe?
I have a question about being a comedian, because I've always wondered this.
Oh, yeah.
When you go and you meet new people, do they expect you to be funny, like more so than they would other people?
I think there's definitely a sense that, if you're not funny in real life, like, how dare you? And then that becomes a story. Like, you know, like if you ever get into a taxi and I try, if people ask what I do, as in they don't know I'm a comedian, I don't tell them, I say I'm an English teacher.
Nice.
Just to avoid that awkward moment when they say, go on then, tell us a joke, and you think, actually, it's a lot more complicated than that. Actually, it needs a setup, and it's going to be horrible if I tell you something and you don't laugh. But sometimes I've had taxi drivers say, I'll tell you who I've had in the back of my car, and then they'll name a very famous comedian and go, and he wasn't funny for 1 minute. 45 minutes he was here moaning on his phone, and you think, oh, gosh. Yeah, you don't want to get to that level where everyone knows who you are and is always expecting you to be on, or they want an anecdote about it.
Let's turn briefly to Nick Elliott, our ace photographer of rock stars. Everybody from The Delight. In fact, you haven't photographed Sarah Pascoe as yet.
No,
she's not a rock star
yet.
Believe I enjoyed an episode of Mock the Week with you on a few weeks ago on Dave.
Oh, was it? Yeah, they do repeat those things.
Yeah,
don't they, forever.
You was on there. It was great stuff. Loved it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank the Lord for Dave. Of course.
I do thank the Lord for Dave. It's compulsive TV.
YouTube is another line entirely. I'm just impressed with Vegan Diets Explained. Does it come from an animal? No, eat it. Does it come from an animal? Yes, don't eat it. It's fantastic. Yeah. Tedious. It's simply, I mean, I feel you could rewrite the entire world of higher education just in that flowchart alone.
Just make it really simple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Emma Tinson, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I just wanted to know that how your writing process goes when you're writing your stand-up routines. Does it take quite a while to come up with an actual routine?
It's really different, you know. Like, there are times when you kind of, just before you fall asleep, when your brain's nice and soft and relaxed, something will just pop into your mind and you go, oh, remember that, and it will come to you almost fully formed. And there's other bits that you think, oh, I think there's something here, but I just can't get why it's funny yet, or I've got a punchline but the setup's too long, and so sometimes there's a lot of crafting and sculpting that obviously you do in front of an audience, because the writing process really with comedy, because you follow where the laughs are, sometimes you have to drop things and you go, yep, it's interesting but it's not quite funny enough, or okay, this needs more jokes. And yeah, if an audience never laughs, then it's not comedy. Then it goes in the bin.
It might be a cultural thing, though, Sarah. I mean, you could be dealing with a whole audience who are deaf mutes.
Maybe I need to go and live in Norway and over there. I'm very, very funny.
Particularly with the Scandinavian jumper, which is, I think would be a whole range of things. I can't believe that you started off this latest tour, Sarah on Tour, of course, back on the 24th of October at the Brighton Pavilion Theatre. Since then, Glasgow, Newcastle, Aberdeen, Birmingham, Coventry, Bristol, Reading, and it comes to an unmitigated climax of excitement.
Yeah, it's the last one. It's my leavers do.
Unbelievable.
My end of work party is the Lincoln...
The Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, a week tonight, March 11th. I've already excited Christy and Emma no end by saying that we will hopefully be there as well after we've done the show.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, brilliant.
We do the 537 Midweek Drive. If you're here a bit early, by all means, feel free. We're just over the railway bridge, actually. You've got the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre on one side, over the railway bridge, Siren FM. I mean, we'd like to see you in the studio. We appreciate you know, you say, no, dear, I've got to do sound checks and all sorts of other things.
I've got to go and panic in a dressing room.
I've got to psych myself through the system, etc. It's not like the reduced Shakespeare company where I've got other people that can work on the whole thing. For God's sakes, you know, I'm an artiste, but I don't think you would actually, Sarah. I don't want to connect with that point. Kat, questions for yourself.
Yeah, just a quick question, Sarah. By the time you get to the end of a tour, has the you know, has the set changed at all? I mean, you said that about interaction with the audience. So by the end of it, it's completely different, is it?
It's not completely different. So either I think with this one, the framework is mainly the same, but some things it's just time, and so time changes what works. So for instance, I had a thing about the song Blurred Lines in the show that in Edinburgh was exactly a year after that song being released and it being kind of a cultural phenomenon. But then towards Christmas, so a few months back, I started to feel like I'm having to remind people what Blurred Lines was, which means actually it's not relevant anymore. And so either you have to find something else to talk about or just go, no, it's created the space. And also the other thing is, what's really fun is getting to put new stuff into the show and then getting excited about it again, or oh, this bit's working, or this is good for the top of the second half. So then you kind of go, right, what's a bit old? What have I got a bit bored of saying? And then you edit that bit out and pop a new bit in, and that keeps it all nice. And sorry, it's my boyfriend coming in. Sorry, I'm on the phone, John, to the radio.
Oh, it's nice. It's very important.
Yeah, no, sorry, you've got to see a bit of my home like this.
Throw a drink diva strop and tell him, don't you know, I'm busy.
I'll just say quite something. Hello, John, have you got a new motor? Sorry, it's an old one. Nick, you might get what I'm referring to.
I do indeed. Could I ask Sarah a question?
Of course.
Can I ask Sarah, is the whole show scripted? Is it completely scripted? Or do you ever do... You know, well, it happened to me on the way to the theatre. Do you ever do that kind of gig?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, at the very beginning, you do really have to talk a little bit about the area. Well, like, so, for instance, in Norwich, in my dressing room, there was a cobweb outside on the window, but there was
half a
duck in it.
How typical that is of Norwich.
I'm from Norwich.
It's Norfolk. Norfolk.
So you have to talk about it. Obviously, you have to kind of go on, and I was talking about how big the spider must have been to have caught this duck.
Right.
And so you do try to do, like, because also at the very beginning, you're saying hello, aren't you? Shaking everybody's hands and sort of getting used to each other. So, and especially there's some areas I'd never been to before, and I wanted to talk to them or ask questions or find out, why is there so many charity shops, or why are all the pubs empty? And you can have a little bit of conversation. So nothing's ever... And also, in terms of the setup and the stories as well, sometimes it's nice to leave things a bit flexible, so it's not very regimented in terms of the order things come out, because people know when they're being lied to.
Yeah.
And so the minute it becomes really scripted, actually, usually it stops working.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of magic. Christy, we've had your microphone faded down there, but as a citizen of Norwich and indeed Norfolk, you would like to sort of just have a little right of reply there in terms of the spiders.
I would like to defend the fact that Norwich is not a cobwebby city in general. It is probably just your one experience.
I know that the wonderful Amy Melson didn't actually sort of prep you and say you might be asked by somebody back from Norwich.
Just keep your Norwich stuff down.
I mean, if you want to go into Lincoln, feel free. We have some giant swans, and you don't want to. I mean,
they're quite big.
They're
actually
phenomenal.
They're scary. Very scary.
Oh dear.
Well, it's scary after fashion, but you know, I'm just sort of interested in terms of obviously the set and the gig that worked at Hemel Hempstead. Would that work in Lincoln? I don't know. Hemel Hempstead and Lincoln, I just like the name Hemel Hempstead. It sounds like an actor.
Hemel Hempstead's a great name,
It was like Sir Seton Carew and various other sort of folk from that perspective. Have you performed at Lincoln before, Sarah?
No, I haven't. So I've been obviously around about that area, but not to Lincoln itself. So I'm really excited.
Well, you've got your opportunity now to turn interviewer, because with Emma Tinson being a level 2 journalism student and Christy Bond being a level 3 English student, they don't know about Lincoln as undergraduates at the university, you know, part of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. It's just so it's over to you, Sarah. What would you like?
Well, let me know what should I see if I'm there for half a day and a night time. I want to know somewhere I should go before the show and where I should go for a drink afterwards.
Oh, okay. Well,
this could be seen as product endorsement, of course, if we actually give you one particular brand out here. But
okay, I'm going to say not like a bar or anywhere like that. I'm going to say like an attraction of the city is our steep hill. Now, a lot
steep
of people...
hill?
It's called, because it's quite literally a hill.
I'm now worried.
Called steep hill. And it's quite steep.
Wear flat shoes.
Everyone says, oh, it's really steep. And people, before you come to Lincoln, you think, oh, yeah, It'll just be a molehill or something. But it is almost vertical, I think.
Yes, it is. It is.
So I would recommend doing that.
They put a cathedral on the top of it. So
maybe after the show, because there's some nice bars at the top of the hill.
Oh, is there? As a reward for when you get to the top.
And you might be a bit tired if you did it before the show.
I recommend to you Cloud Bar at the top of the hill. If you go past cathedral and then turn left at the well. There's,
personally, Sarah, I'd do a taxi up there.
Other bars are available.
Yeah. But I recommend this one bar. Sit on the roof. It's beautiful.
Oh, it sounds really nice. Thanks, guys. I'm actually oddly excited about that hill now.
And also check out the swans. Because there's lots of them.
Yeah, well, they're around, obviously, on the other side of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, where you can actually sort of be engage in that sort of side of things from that point. Fantastic stuff. I'm still impressed with his website. I mean, never mind the Buzzcocks to, Live at the Bar. It's just fantastic.
She's done everything.
She's literally a megastar. That's the important thing. I know we've lost Leonard Nimoy this week, but we've got, the legend that is Sarah Pascoe as well. And I'm sure, Sarah, one day you'll perform a Vulcan as well.
Maybe if once I find out what it is, I'm afraid I don't know. Is that a Star Trek thing?
Exactly.
And you're going to say Star Wars.
I just corrected myself. I just about know the difference.
Could have entered into an embarrassing phase. We wouldn't know what was happening. So they say that comedy is the new rock and roll. They've been saying that for about 10, 20 years now. Probably before you were born, actually. Yeah. Nick Elliott, as a rock and roll photographer, and I mean, just share with Sarah some of the people that you photographed. Obviously, this is so we build up so that when Sarah books you to go on tour with us.
Oh, it's a big list. Yes. Metallica, yes. Iron Maiden, Robert Plant.
Yes. Some the names you may have heard of. They're musicians, I believe. Sarah.
Wow. Have you ever taken photographs of Queen?
No.
No.
No, he never did. No.
The one he hasn't.
They're not good enough for him.
No.
Oh, I see.
No, they were in their time, I've got to admit. Yeah, not now. Yeah. Not now. No.
Oh, jeez.
No.
But do you think there's a sort of market in terms of comedians on tour and that kind of thing? Because obviously you've done Sir John Hurt as well, of course.
I have.
Sarah, obviously that's in photographed. I mean, this politically correct age, we could have a completely different meaning for that.
Well, actually, a festival that I'm looking at probably hooking up on doing some stuff this summer is Latitude, which Sarah knows about. Which has a massive comedy stage, doesn't it, Sarah?
Yes, really does, yeah. And, Latitude's quite rare in that comedy in the arts and musical has equal kind of footing, because usually comedy's an afterthought in a tent hidden away.
Have you played Latitude?
Yes, I've done it for about the last 5 years. I'm doing this year as well.
Are you really? Because actually we got the stuff through the press office a couple of weeks ago saying that there's 70 comedians that are...
Yeah, but only one Sarah Pascoe.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
It's like Sarah Pascoe and 60-odd other comedians you may have possibly known.
Or 69.
but it's great because Latitude's a couple of weeks before the Edinburgh Festival, so it's kind of like the last party before everyone has to work very hard for a month.
And it's the 10th anniversary this year as well, isn't it?
Yes,
So it's a bit of a special one.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to hook up, actually, if you're there at the same time I am. So we'll catch up and have a cafe.
Connecting in every sense of the word. I cannot believe that tickets for Sarah Pascoe versus history, and there's coming up a question here about Sarah Pascoe versus history. Surely there's no contest. Sarah Pascoe's going to win every time. £12. 12 English pounds. That's astounding.
What are you doing? Yes. Charge more.
No.
In the words of The Independent, always clever and sometimes exquisite. The Times, an exhilarating, deeply satisfying show. The Guardian, Pascoe's lively mind teases out big questions with intelligence, silliness and self-deprecation. It's going to be sensational. Basically, 1 hour and 50 minutes, which, broadly speaking, is a little under 7,000 seconds of sheer joy. Let's face it, sheer joy. It's going to be there. Programmed, of course, by the LPAC producers, Wednesday the 11th of March. But the question is, Sarah, why Sarah Pascoe versus history?
Oh, it's just because the show is about the client. It was kind of about me meeting my boyfriend, John, who you just heard me talking to.
Hello,
and,
John.
And falling in love. Hello, John. And realising that...
She's on the phone, John.
You take so much past into a relationship. You've got obviously your own relationships that have happened, and you have your parents, and you have... And then, yes, I researched the history of pair bonding in human beings and monogamy, and I tried to kind of find a funny way to talk about that and talk about sperm quite a lot. Because,
always important.
We found out so much about female sexuality from how sperm behaves. Oh. It's really interesting, some of it, and I tried to make it funny as well.
Oh. And so that's you might learn something.
You will.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not just slapstick, you know. I shall quote from the thing, I know Julia
not with sperm.
With a comedy brain that leaps from stimulating arguments onto abstract confabulation with lumpy doses of openness, honesty and earnestness, Sarah shares her romantic history, existential theory and cultural insights. The past contains wars, witches, Kim Jong-il and your ex. Your brain can recall being a child while your body remembers being a monkey. Everything that has happened shapes who we are today. Even, dare I say it, Sarah, your time on the Midweek Drive this very afternoon.
Yeah. Well, going to be a big factor.
So I need to ask you two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for yourself?
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So the next critical question is, can we hope to prevail upon your good self to join us again in the not-too-distant future? And who knows, maybe connect with us next week, or certainly as we see Sarah Pascoe begin to take over the world. The next tour,
yes,
of course.
Please. Yeah. Yes, please.
Sarah Pascoe vs. History. Sarah Pascoe takes over the world. A round of applause for Sarah Pascoe, please. And your treat, Sarah, is to select the musical tune that will take us around to the news, more or less. So what particular artist, musically speaking, would you like us to see if Mr. Computer has got in the system?
Have you got any Take That?
Outstanding.
And Sue Royce isn't here. She's not here.
You have touched into a cultural dynamic there, which is quite... So, okay. Are we looking Never Forget, Back for Good, These Days? No messing about whatsoever.
That was very definite.
Sarah Pascoe has gone straight into the whole thing. Sarah Pascoe, we salute you. Take care now.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Extraordinary. Who would have thought Amar and Jose Mourinho in the same sentence?
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward and other Midweek Drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
It has to be said, of course, this week the other Midweek Drivettes encompass Christy Bond, Level 3 English, and, of course, Nick Elliott, rock star photographer extraordinaire, and indeed Sir John Hurt, who has never, as far as I'm aware, portrayed a rock star yet.
No, I don't think he
has.
You could
do Charlie from the Rolling Stones, I would have thought.
Yeah, that would work.
Possibility
work.
John Hurt as
definitely.
Yeah, it would work there. And, of course, Kat, ace publicist and PR person from the wonderful world of Cambridge.
Yes, thank you. Hello.
And, of course, Emma Tinson, who, of course, has got the jingle made up.
Yes. Surely we can't play that when Jess isn't here, though.
Yeah, well, she's here in spirit. She's playing netball.
She's doing one good for the University
she
of
is,
Lincoln.
I'm sure. And, indeed, as you just said a few moments ago, Christy, I thought it was Cameron Diaz. No, it's Fiona Curzon online now. Fiona, or is it Cameron? Welcome to the production. How are you?
Blue is the colour. Yeah. Football is
yeah, I know. Anne's Chelsea supporter. It's, I remember. What was it? The first show we ever did together when you actually breastfed halfway through the show, which was wonderful.
Oh, my God.
What? That is
yes. I would like to say, girls, because I know you've got a whole lot of girls there. I'm all for that, but I think it's a very nice way of doing it without anybody seeing anything.
It was wonderful because, as I say, young Tom, who's now, how many wonderful years have passed since Tom sort of did the show with your good self?
Oh, my God, now everyone. I'm even older than before. He's now 29.
29, yeah, and I like to feel that in one of those early Dulwich radio days, it was nice to feel that, you know, we got a request from Fiona's agent saying, this is why Fiona's like, happy to do the show. Would you mind if she breastfed halfway through the show? And obviously, being in touch with my female side, even in the 80s, yeah, okay. That's an unusual request, but Tom showed his appreciation in stereo from both ends. Oh, it's an old one.
Yeah.
Was great. I know Christy's looking a bit shocked at this particular moment in time because she thinks this took place before I was even born, but never mind. That's part and parcel of the rich tapestry. Fiona, welcome back to the show. It's been ridiculous since the last time you were on. It's about a year and a half since you last joined us.
I know.
But... yeah. Life continues, and we've been looking at Femme Fatale, we've been looking at Faye, of course, the classic role, and the humour.
It's been too long. I need another job.
I still think your role in Return of the Saint, which I actually was talking about with a wonderful film producer today called Darren or Daz Scales, who's joining us for a Telefantasy and Society event. And when I actually cited that you had been in Return of the Saint as indeed that classic wonderful nurse who came up with the immortal line to Ian Ogilvy as Simon Templar, but Simon, I'm a nurse, I see naked men every day. It's genius, you know. That to me is the equivalent, Fiona, of live long and prosper if you were in the Lenin Nimoy camp. That was the sort of line.
Yep.
Classic in every sense.
Yep.
So he was very excited. So we're gradually moving that campaign to say Fiona needs another Academy Award winning role, because otherwise, who else is Cameron Diaz going to model her entire routine on if it wasn't for herself?
I know, but I'm sure she needs an older sister or an old bag mother or something.
Not at all. Exactly, precisely. But anyway, the amusement that was caused in the studio when I mentioned the character, sort of the shorthand of your time in Crossroads, was Faye the Frigid Secretary. But I think was it Faye the Frigid Secretary, or did you refer? No, I'm Faye Grant. Thank you very much. That's the relationship with.
I'm sure you know that the soaps always have
outrageous storylines.
Well, yeah, but the sort of stuff that to try and teach. I mean, for instance, it'll be before everybody in the studio was born, the Amy Turtle shoplifting story.
Oh, the classic Amy Turtle shoplifting.
Exactly. It was to teach everybody, hey, guys, you shoplift, this is what happens.
Exactly.
And mine was actually the precursor of what is big in the news today, that I'd been abused in the past. And I was terrified of men. But listen, if you're like Faye, go and see a psychiatrist. Yeah. Go and get help.
And it was a heart-rending. It was actually, it coincided with a time where, not being into the soaps, I thought, well, no, you know, I'm in my teenage years, it's time to actually sort of give a chance. So I watched both Crossroads and Coronation Street for a period of around about 18 months before I've hardly ever watched them again since.
Quite right. You know, we've moved on. Oh, my God. The best series at the moment, as far as I'm concerned, is a French series called Engrenage, Spiral. Mm. Has anyone else there seen Spiral?
No, I haven't.
Oh. Hey, listen, guys, get on your tablets and download that. It's just amazing. I know it's in French, but when I say police series, you may all groan, but I'll tell you what, boy, it's got an edge. And they're all such characters, you know? It's fantastic.
It's just an all-round wonderful experience.
To check it out.
And Fiona...
Seriously, it's one of the best things I've seen for a long time.
Fiona, I hadn't realised you were actually born in Taunton in the United Kingdom. I never thought of your good self as a West Country lass, it has to be said, but no.
Well, Taunton. I was born there, but then I went off and lived in India, you see.
Exactly. For a long time, we haven't had this joyous notion of accessing the details of what goes up on the website, how do things actually develop in all sorts of ways. And yes, as you say, born in Taunton, Somerset, England, and an actress known as Femme Fatale, cover-up, Le Chevalier, a whole range of sort of wonderful things from that point of view, and just an all-round wonderful person, which is fine.
Yeah.
As you said, according to IMDb, lived in Taunton for the first 18 months of your life. Presumably that was because somebody said, get off my land.
I don't even think it was as long as that.
Before being brought up in India, where you learned Hindustani. Now, Fee, clearly, that's the thing the show has been missing for so long. Hindustani jingles delivered by Fiona Curzon. Okay, we're going to work on that.
That would be really interesting.
Exactly. Do you still speak the language today, Fee? Or has it been a case of, no, I've moved on from that particular time?
Alexius?
Yes.
Hambut pasan kartatum.
Oh, that's impressive.
I have got a clue what it means.
You can guess what it means.
See, the thing is, we can't have subtitles on radio, so...
I know, it means I like you very much.
Aww, that's nice. Very sweet.
Outstanding. Emma, questions from your good self.
So, what was it like then, growing up in a different culture? That must have been quite an interesting thing to have.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know anything else. And when I came back here, I did not like it here.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It must have been quite a shock.
The weather, and I was... my parents had friends of... it's just going to sound politically incorrect, but there is a point in saying this, of all different shapes of the earth. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when I came back here and I was asked why wasn't I coloured because I lived in India, I looked at them and thought...
What's Cliff Richard then? You know, that's Joanna Lumley?
Sorry?
Joanna Lumley?
Sorry?
Joanna Lumley? Cliff Richard? What's going on there? Yeah.
I know. I thought this is really odd because I'd never really thought about colour before, actually. Mm.
It is interesting.
Some people happen to be Indian and some people happen not to be Indian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how old would you have been then, Fiona?
When I came back here, 11 years old.
Right.
So in many ways...
And I mean, I was terribly naughty.
No.
I remember my mother...
A convent school girl like yourself, Fiona, terribly
naughty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she caught me begging out in the street. My head nearly left its body.
Fee, that's not being naughty. That's being an entrepreneur, okay?
It's a business initiative.
I'll get in my time machine now and actually just sort that whole thing through and say, look, you know, I'm sorry, your daughter's being an entrepreneur. She's not being naughty.
What year was that,
and
Fiona?
I used to run round the streets throwing paint at Diwali, you know, things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was very cool. And of course, Mother Teresa was very much around. And any woman worth her salt would work for her. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mother once, she said, all you guys, you girls there, I know you're young, but you have heard of Mother Teresa.
Yes.
I remember my mother coming in and she said, I've given her a cardigan, because, you know, in the evenings it would be chilly. Within 30 seconds, she'd given it to somebody else.
Outrageous. Oh.
do you know what I mean? And my mother meant it nicely, you know. but, you know, she would never keep anything for herself.
This is one of the reasons why clearly Fiona Curzon is on the route to sainthood in a few years' time. You know, probably about 50 or 60. There we are. Life continues.
Oh, no, she gave it to Mother Teresa.
Oh, yeah, there we are. You see,
you understood that,
I do.
You?
Yes, exactly. This is true.
And no. I'm going downstairs to that party, I should think.
No, absolutely not. You know, because not only are you an ace actress and a superlative raconteur, you're also the proprietor of Fiona Curzon Collections. Very stylish event that comes through. I see that on the 29th of January you had the sale of sales at the Salisbury Livestock Market. Very stylish. I mean, we can go to the collection for winter 2014 on the website now, and I can actually sort of just illustrate some of the fine sort of characters there, because this is something which, again, it's a whole new string to your bow that you decided to actually say, in your own words, it's country shows like Burley, like Bramham, like Badminton and so on that have become the new high street.
Well, yes, and also I'm not going to drizzle at home and wait for the phone to ring. I love my acting, and when it happens, I rush off and I can leave. I have a couple of girlfriends that can, you know, do my shows for me. But I love doing them, and I know it's well ahead of time, but I'm going to be definitely in your part of the world.
In November?
Yep, for the Irnham Red Cross Fair. Yeah.
And the great thing about this, of course, it's taking place just outside Grantham, so that's always good, Grantham, Lincolnshire. And your proceeds for this are going to go to a very worthwhile charity, I believe.
Well, it's not me.
Well, not
it's the people who run it.
Yes.
The people who run it, they are raising money for the Red Cross.
Excellent.
So I have to pay to be there, and then I have to pay 10% of my takings to the Red Cross as well.
We will certainly be looking to check that out in the latter part of the year, but we don't want to wish our lives away. Christy, questions for Fiona.
What's the biggest challenge you face as an actress?
Oh. The biggest challenge you faced?
Was it working with Randall and Hopkirk deceased, or indeed Jason King? Was that a different sort of aspect? I mean, I'm thinking we have Annette Andre on the show next week, so it's always quite nice to see.
Oh, do you? Oh, lovely. The greatest challenge. Oh, my God. I don't know. That's hard. As an actress, my God.
Learning your lines, I should think. Crikey.
Learning your lines. Really I know what it is. It's that moment just before you go on the stage, patter, 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 bing, 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 heart.
Yeah. Particularly if your heart is sounding patter, 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 bing, bing, bing. You know, you're going to think, what?
You know what I mean, yeah.
So it doesn't sound like a healthy heart rhythm.
Actually, it's going boom, 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 boom.
Listen, Fia, 51% left on battery power. It's okay. We're all right for the interview. It'll work splendidly. Marvellous.
Okay.
Nick, thoughts and questions for yourself, because I think actually you're probably, I mean, Fiona's obviously just a shade over 34 in terms of age, so you know, from your own perspective, Nick, we won't ask you your age, but you have worked with a number of key classics over the years. Share with Fiona who you photographed.
Oh dear. Well, as I said earlier on, the list is endless. Metallica.
Sir John Hurt
yeah. Recently, that was last year.
I think he's fantastic.
Oh, he is. Yes, he is. A lovely man. Him and his wife. Yeah. Top people. Very nice.
So I'm sure Fee might be interested. What's your biggest challenge ever been, Nick? Taking on board Christy's question there, what's your biggest challenge, mate? You don't have to name names. I mean, sometimes musicians. I mean, I don't know whether
Fee... Oh, go on, drop a name.
No, I always answer that question with the next one, to be honest. You know, I haven't had it yet.
You see, that's what you call
it. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's when you start a new venture, a new project, you're thinking, is this me? Is it right? You know, I think that, yeah, that's very true. Every single job is the new thing and the worry and yeah. Mm.
It all flows together. Emma, thoughts and questions from yourself?
Yeah, I wanted to know, when did you decide that you definitely wanted to go into acting?
Oh, as opposed to spreading paint for Diwali or other Hindu festivals.
Yeah, begging.
Yeah. I desperately wanted to. My parents were not keen at all.
I'm just intrigued by Queen Kong. I mean, that's something I wasn't even aware of, which I see is actually on the list here. Queen Kong, presumably.
Was I in that?
Well, we've got... A British comedy spoofing King Kong. The film was never released theatrically in the United Kingdom due to legal action by Dino De Laurentiis, producer of the 1976 King Kong remake. It got a limited release in Italy and Germany. The film has since resurfaced on DVD, so maybe a hidden treasure there. We could actually sort of work our way through that.
You know, it's simply dreadful. I have to tell you, and I think a lot of actors are like this, when you've done it, you've done it. I know I can go the following week to a job, and they'll go, what have you done recently? And you're thinking, what have I done recently? Mm. You know what I mean?
You're
completely blank. And sometimes I actually go online and have a look and go, oh yeah. That's the sort of thing I should mention at this audition. Do you know what I mean? But you just forget. You know, you really do.
I think, thankfully, you might have been uncredited in this particular system. We've got Carol Drinkwater, Robin Asquith, and so on. And actually, looking at the plot line in the summary, it doesn't exactly strike me as being an absolute winner for Academy Awards. A female film crew journeys to Africa, where a giant ape, Queen Kong, falls in love with the crew's male star. And I can't see that flying.
I think it sounds pretty bloody rubbish to me. Excuse me.
Yeah, we'll steer away from that. Mental note, do not actually refer to the Queen. We'll go into Femme Fatale, which you definitely were in back in 2002.
That was fantastic, yeah. Because what was lovely was playing with Antonio Banderas.
And not Rebecca Romijn.
Rebecca Romijn Somers?
Yes.
Oh, she was gorgeous. Oh. She's absolutely gorgeous, but she wasn't in my scenes, but she's heaven. The fact that the director was Brian De Palma. Yep. And he was, he's, my goodness, he's a character.
In what sense, Fee? Because we've got another character, a director called Graham Harper, who's coming up in a few moments' time, and he's
quite
a character. So, yeah, I mean, in what sense was Brian De Palma a character?
He knows how to make you flip and do something else. Oh. I don't mean flip as in lose it. You know what I mean? Do something completely differently. Mm. He's very supportive. He knows exactly what's going on. You feel very secure. Mm. That I do like about film. When you've got a really strong director, you just look after yourself and, yep, that'll be fine. There was a wonderful actor in it called Thierry Frémont, who is one of the really good actors in France at the moment, and he was playing the policeman, but, you know, and that I was telling to get a lot.
She's even doing a French accent as well. It's
such a talent.
Do you see what genius.
Slipped into character.
It was just c'est magnifique, ma chérie, c'est magnifique.
But lovely Antonio Banderas, you've got the most wonderful eyes.
In the Mark of Zorro, perhaps?
Oh, sorry. I mean, yes, Rebecca Remus Thomas was much prettier, but I'm a bird, and therefore, you know...
Depends where you're coming from, doesn't it? I get you.
Yeah, and Fiona, that's the reason why we have missed you on these shows, where you can actually come out with the line, and I'm a bird. You know, I mean, which bird you got on the show this week? It's just a strange and bizarre and strangely wonderful thing. It's been fantastic as ever, but I'm going to ask Emma Tinson, our Seri Gal, to actually bowl those last two questions to you. So, Emma,
of course, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today on the show?
Well, it's been all right, hasn't it?
All right. Not too bad. I mean,
we haven't had a chance to speak about her choral work on Monday nights.
We haven't done anything too bad to you, so...
No, haven't. No, it's been smashing. It's really nice.
She has been
really
known
nice to hear you all.
She has been
I really mean that.
She has been known to talk about my underwear in times past, which I won't
shocking.
Go...
Shocking!
No.
Oh, yes, we were all talking about red, weren't we?
Yeah, fine. Okay.
Okay, all right, we won't do that today.
Anyway, moving on. Will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
Yes, please.
Yay.
Fantastic.
And Fiona, your reward will be to make a musical selection. Would you like to give me an artist and we'll see if Mr. Computer actually has it to hand and we'll see if we can actually go out with this. So any particular artist and, you know, contemporary, whatever that you might have, would you like to just give me a name, please?
Does it need to be modern?
Not necessarily. It depends. We can try it. I mean, it's not us, it's the computer. And how often that's been used as an excuse.
Okay, I'll tell you what. What about a bit of Bob Dylan?
Oh, I think...
That'll do.
Yes, I think, you know, getting thumbs up from our ace rock star photographer. By the way, Nick, would you actually share your web address once again? I know we've done it on Sound and Nick's Vision. It's a different show that's been put together.
My press office is nickelliott.info.
There you are.
Lots on there about me.
Lots, exactly.
I need some new photographs for Spotlight.
There you have it, you see. That was Fiona doing a young child.
Oh,
so she needs some photographs being done for the Spotlight casting directory.
Oh, I see. I thought we got a cross line.
Viable. No.
No, that was very... well done, Alexius. Well done.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I'll work our way through that. Any particular Bob Dylan track that we've actually got? Because we've got heaps of them coming through from this point of view. I mean, we can go to Maggie's Farm. We can go to Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. I'll Be Your Baby Tonight, Like a Rolling Stone, Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Lay Lady Lay.
You're going to look for Lay Lady Lay, the racy version from that point of view. Is that in the computer machine? I can't believe that we will have actually gone without Lay Lady Lay. And yet, astonishingly, we have.
It
ain't me, babe, blowing in the wind. It's all over now, baby blue. She belongs to me. The times they are changing, but no.
Lay I'm lady. Really cross. Now I'm going to change. All right, I want JJ Cale.
Oh, nice choice.
Suddenly.
Girls, am I doing well?
You're doing brilliantly.
The feistiness is that I'm not sure whether JJ Cale will come up in any way, shape or form. Actually, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for JJ Cale.
Okay, then we'll go old-fashioned. Hello, Dolly.
Oh, that's exciting.
Louis Armstrong. Well, Louis Armstrong.
That's of course, we could spend the rest of the show here as we approach the course of
we just have silence instead of music.
What we are doing now is Desert Island Disc.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. What I need on the island, apart from anything else, is toothpaste.
It's a way off.
Exactly. I tell you what, I think we'll go back to Bob Dylan because clearly Hello Dolly and Louis Armstrong equally absent from the system.
But
the good news is... when
Emma,
Fiona...
he's rubbish.
I know, what am I going to do?
Maggie's Farm. Let's do a Maggie's Farm.
Are you going to go to Maggie's Farm?
Maggie's Farm.
I shall be free.
Is that okay, Fee?
Well,
okay.
I suppose bear in mind that Maggie Thatcher was born in Grantham and Fiona will be in Grantham, or just outside Grantham, at Urnham Hall in
loose
November.
Loose connection. Very loose connection.
But it is on a farm.
And
okay, owned by Maggie.
She'll be back with us when we actually, the next time around, Fiona, I will guarantee you we will have both Louis Armstrong and indeed Lay Lazy Lay, just for your good self.
Thank you.